The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Will you join me in prayer? Father, it is good to gather together with your people. It is good as we gather to know that your promise to us is that your presence is among us. Your spirit that dwells within us is active, alive. And as we sing, you're doing something not just to us individually, you're doing something to us collectively. You're forming us as your people. And so I pray for these next few moments as we open up your word. Would you illuminate the truth that your people long ago beheld, that we stand in need of today. And the beauty is no matter what we bring into the room, no matter where we are, season or circumstance, you have the ability, the unique power and wisdom and care and counsel to speak to us individually right where we are. So would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see? And we pray all of these things in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, everyone. How we doing? My mom's here today. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. My wife's here today. Happy Mother's Day to my wife, who mothers our three children alongside. It's good to see you in this place today, and all of you moms, I echo Jody's sentiment. Grateful for you. Happy Mother's Day. Why do we sing? Why do we do it? Some of you love it, and some of you don't. Some of you refuse to sing. Some of you can sing, and some of us can't sing. I'm thankful Scripture says, or doesn't say, make a beautiful noise. I'm thankful that the prerequisite is to make a joyful noise. So in reality, our singing isn't about skill. It is a heart-level response to beholding God. There are at least 50 direct commands to sing in Scripture. What's that about? There's over 400 references in Scripture about singing. We are told that our God sings over his people. But why do we do it? Why do we sing? Exodus 15 is where we're going to be this morning. I want to invite you to take your Bible and join me in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15, God's people break out into song. But why? Why do they sing? When we think about the prior 14 chapters of Exodus, it has been this dramatic unfolding of a story that in many ways does not make sense. God's people are led by him into Egypt for 430 years, and they are led into a place that will bring about slavery and oppression, suffering, feeling hopeless. In fact, the people of God will, in a sense, lose their identity, or at least they will feel that way. And sure, as we read the story, here's what we know, and we can say this quite easily intellectually. The story that God is writing is being written by God who's in control of all things. His providence is never wasted. But the thing we have to grapple with is he writes much differently than we would. This isn't the story that we would write. At 80 years of age, living a secluded life on the backside of a desert, God shows up and reveals his name to this unlikely character named Moses. And he says, I am who I am, Moses. I have always been with you. I am the Lord your God. And I'm going to lead you to rescue my people out of slavery. And through plagues and through the Passover, through the raging sea, God's people are finally rescued. And here they are on the other side of the sea. They look at the defeat of their enemies. They stand in the deliverance of the Lord. And what did they do? They sing. Of all that they could do, their first and most natural response to all that they've endured, all that they've witnessed, is to sing a song. Exodus 15, here's what I want to do with our time together this morning. I want to read these 21 verses to you. I've got two observations I want to make from this passage, from this song. And then I'm going to invite us this morning to apply the passage instead of talking about how to apply the passage. We're going to actually do it together. We're going to do what Israel did. We're going to sing. All right? You guys in with me? Yep. Chapter 15, verse 1. Let's read this song together. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Yahweh, the Lord, my God, our God, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of warrior, a man of war. He is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, your right hand glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, think about this imagery. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The flood stood up in the heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide this spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, and the sea covered them. They sink like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among all the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your hand, your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You've guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Of Moab. Should I just grab this other mic?
We won't let the enemy win today. I'll pick up in verse 14. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as a stone till your people, O Lord, pass by. Till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Verse 19, for when the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." I want to make two observations to you this morning. Here's the first. There's always a reason to sing. I don't know if you believe that or not, but there's always a reason to sing. And I want to take you to the end of the song first. All right, I want to zero in on the women singing, Miriam in particular. Because Exodus 15, it ends the Exodus in Egypt. The culmination of these 15 chapters has been about life in Egypt. And this song will be the bookend to their journey in a place they never want to go back to. Now, in their selfishness, they're going to make shallow comments about going back to Egypt, but they want to be delivered from this place. And it's Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, who takes the tambourine and gathers the other women, and they sing the song, "For the Lord has triumphed gloriously." Do you remember Exodus 1? It was the women of Israel who demonstrated faithfulness to God by refusing to give in to Pharaoh's demands. Now think about this for a moment, this song, the culmination of where they've been. Faithfulness from the beginning in the face of oppression, now singing in the presence of God's faithfulness. Exodus chapter 2, we're introduced to Miriam standing at the edge of the Nile, and she sees her little brother floating in a basket, and by a miracle, Pharaoh's daughter rescues him. Soon to be the prince of Egypt, soon to be on the backside of a desert, soon to be the very instrument in the hands of God that he will use to rescue his people. That same Miriam now stands on the bank of another body of water. Can you picture her story? There in the beginning, on the banks of the Nile, seeing the destruction of her people, all the devastation, all the heartache, weeping on the shore. Now, seeing God's delivering power and mercy, dancing, rejoicing, singing on the shore. Their song is a song of celebration in the midst of grief. They sing despite their circumstance, but they also sing through their circumstance. And the reason why I take you to the end of the song is because I want you to see that their song from beginning to end is grounded in the reality of the God who is authoring every single bit of their story, which means there is always a reason to sing. There's always a reason. Exodus 15 will become the defining marker for why and how God's people sing. Judges, kings, and prophets will sing. Exiles will sing. Mary will sing. Jesus, more than the prophets, will testify to who he is by reciting songs from the Psalms. You see, whenever and wherever God's people gather, you know what they do? They sing. They sing. Whether it's in the face of a lion, or whether it's at the foot of a burning stake, whether it's in homes, secret rooms, farmhouses, synagogues, cathedrals, prisons, or walking through dry ground to the other side of a raging sea, the people of God sing. Why? Because there's always a reason to. There's always a reason to sing. In fact, what we're doing here this morning stands on the shoulders of a paradigm established in Exodus 15, but what we're doing today will never cease. On the other side of our trouble, on the other side of our despair, our sickness, our sorrow, even our death, you know what we're going to do? We're going to awake and we're going to continue in the Song of Moses. Listen to Revelation 15. Then I saw a Another sign in heaven, great and amazing. Seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and his image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. The victory God won for his people at the Red Sea, it becomes the paradigm for God's final victory over every single effect of the curse. That when God defeated Pharaoh at raging waters, the surrounding nations, they trembled, and God's people, they sung a new song. And what we learn here is that when God finally and fully defeats every form of brokenness and evil, do you know what the nations are going to do on that day? They're going to tremble. And you know what God's people are going to do on that day? They're going to sing. They're going to rejoice. They're going to celebrate. They're going to dance. Who doesn't like dancing? We're going to dance. And we're going to sing, and we're not going to be ashamed, and we're not going to have reservation. We're not going to care what we sound like. We're not going to care who's beside us or who's around us. We're going to be in the presence of the Almighty. No hint of sin, no hint of shame. Brothers and sisters, there is always a reason to sing. So whether you walk into the room this morning on this day feeling like singing or not, feeling like being here or not, whether you walk into this room on the mountaintop in a valley in a wilderness journey or unsure of how to name where you are, I want you to know there's a reason to sing. And that reason is rooted in this fact. It's my second observation. We sing because of the character of our deliverer. We sing because of who our God is. I want you to notice in this song that the content of their song is not rooted primarily in their deliverance. It's rooted in their deliverer. They are celebrating their Savior, not merely their salvation. This moment, 430 years on the other side of the raging sea, is not just a moment of relief. This is a moment where the people of God are enamored by his glory. Look back at verse 1. I want to draw some of this out for you. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength. He's my strength. Verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. He is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Sing, when you look at verse 21, the way this song ends, it's sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Their song begins and ends with something significant about the Lord, and it is this: he is strong. He's strong. He overthrows his enemies. No one can stand against Yahweh. And they say, he's our strength. He's our warrior. Verse 18, the Lord will reign forever and ever. They are acknowledging that Yahweh is the king whose kingdom will never end. So here's what they're saying about the character of God. He's strong, he's mighty, he reigns over all things, and his reign is forever and ever and ever. Isn't that what we need today? Like, we need him to be strong. We need him to be strong over disease, over every form of devastation, over the demonic, over the sin that has wreaked havoc, over the sin that we can't let go of today. We need a strong God. We need him to be strong over the messes we make, strong over the relationships that we're navigating. We need him to be strong over the dreams we are pursuing and the life we are living. They're acknowledging something profound that we must continually put before our mind and heart, that God, Yahweh, the Lord our God, he is a strong God. He is a mighty God. But that's not all. Look back at verse 2. He's my strength and my song. He's my song. And he has become my salvation. That line is deeply relational. He's my song. He's my God. Sure, he's strong and mighty, but he's incredibly relatable and he's knowable. He's personal. What they are affirming about God being song and God, deliverer, is that when all else fails, when dreams fail, when all that you have worked for fails, when relationships fail, when bank accounts fail, when health fails, when honor fails, you name it, when all else fails, God won't fail. God can't fail. Because there he is. He's present. He's near. He's knowable. He's relatable. He's gracious. He's powerful. Here's something that I think we know, but I don't know how deep we believe it. It's all going to fail us. You know that, right? All of it. All of it. Marriage, parenting, career, portfolio, status. Like, it's going to let you down. It's not going to always measure up. The expectations aren't always going to deliver. But God, he won't fail you. He can't fail you. He is my song. Verse 13 says, you have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. And I think verse 11 is really the summation of the entire song. If you were to put a synopsis to this song in one verse, it would be verse 11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods, who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders. This is who he is. This is who we need him to be. And here's what I want you to wrestle with for a moment. When we look at them, their story, their journey, when they beheld the character of their God, he's strong and mighty, he's knowable, he's relatable, he's personal, he's intimate, his steadfast love endures to the ends of the earth. When they beheld that about him, their first and most natural response was praise. They could not help themselves but praise. Let me tell you why we need this. Let me tell you why we need to behold God's character, why we need to sit with the reality of who God is. Here's why. There will be moments and seasons where we do not understand what God is doing. Can't trace his activity. Do you think they doubted what God was up to generation after generation? There will be moments and seasons where we do not know what he's doing, and it does not make sense. And this is where you and I have to trust his heart. We have to lean on his unchanging goodness, that even though I need his strength right now in this moment, and it doesn't appear that he is that to me or for me, he is strong. He is good. He is gracious and loving. He will not forget me. And I don't know how or when he will show up in this moment or in this season, but here's what I do know. I can trust his character. I can trust his promises, which means he will not fail me. He will not fail. This is why we sing. This is why we open our mouth and declare praise to the God who reigns forever and ever. This is why we open our mouth and declare praise to the God who sees us, knows us, walks with us, counsels us, and is with us each step of the journey. Do you see in their story that Israel's story is our story? Do you see that? Can you make the connection that their song is also our song? Like just like the blood of the Lamb was placed over the doors to lead God's people into deliverance and freedom, Christ Jesus shed his blood for us. He shed his blood for us so that death would not just pass over us, but so that we would be delivered from the evil one, that we would be freed from our sin so that we could enter into new life, have new mercy, live a new and better way. That his name, it wouldn't just be written on our hearts, it would ever be on our lips. So that we proclaim not just what he has done, but we proclaim who he is. His deliverance is great, but even greater, we know his name. Even greater, he knows us by name. We know this God. And he's not just seated on a heavenly throne doing great things, ruling the world. He's with us. He's present. He walks with us. He counsels us. He comforts us. He patiently leads us. This is why we can sing. And you know what our song is? Our song is Jesus. That's the reason we sing. Jesus. No matter the season, no matter the circumstance, it's Jesus. Every time we gather together as God's people and we open our mouth to sing, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to remember that what we're doing is we are telling ourselves and each other which story we really belong to every single time. Every single time we gather and the team leads us in song and we declare it and we open our mouths and we belt whatever tune out, the prerequisite is joy. Every time we do that, we are telling ourselves and each other the true and better story. Here's how I like to think about it. We sing so that we will remember what we believe. Our singing, it clarifies to our mind and to our heart what is true. Our singing helps connect the dots to our faith. But we also sing in order to believe. Do you see that? I need songs to help clarify for me the true nature of God's character. But sometimes I need singing to help me to believe that. Our singing, it helps our mind and our heart catch up to our will. Our singing forms our emotions in light of what is true instead of allowing our emotions to call the shots. So we sing to remember what we believe, and we also sing so that we might believe. We need both, church. And this morning, I want to invite you, all of us collectively, to sing our story. I'm going to invite the team back up. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I want to invite us to sing our story. If you walked into the room this morning discouraged, if you walked into the room fearful, if you walked into the room anxious, Do you know what is good and right for you to do today? Sing your story. There's a reason why the curse of sin is broken. Why the darkness runs from light. Why we stand here now forgiven. Jesus is alive. There's a reason why we are not overtaken, a reason we sing through the night, why our hope remains eternal. Why? Jesus is alive. Praise the King. Praise the King. Hallelujah. He's alive. Maybe you walked into the room today beyond discouraged. You feel defeated, even hopeless. Do you know what is good and right for you to do today? Sing your story. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. There's mercy in the waiting. There's manna for today. And when it's gone, I know you're not. You are my hope and stay. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done because I'm fighting a battle you've already won. Maybe you're in the room today and you feel shame and condemnation over your sin. Do you know what is good and right for you to do today? Sing your story. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Maybe you walked into the room feeling numb, indifferent. You might call this a dry season, a season where you're struggling to find peace. Sing your story. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It is your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These feeble bones will say, great are you, O Lord. Fighting to find joy. In a season of waiting, sing your story. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, because he will never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. Would you stand with me this morning? We sing as a response to beholding his goodness. And we sing in order to behold his goodness. We need both. So let's sing. Last thing, if you're here today and you can't sing, that's okay. You just can't muster the words. That's okay. Let us sing for you. Until you can.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.